let's talk about Jace Down. Okay? Let's talk about Jace Down. Because this kind of goes with the last segment. Just a side note. Thinking about doing that Facebook Live thing. What do you guys think? Think I should do that tomorrow? I mean, I haven't figured out how to do it. I was looking at it last night. I'm like, where on my Facebook? How do I set this up? What do I do? Where do I do this? How do I don't know. But I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to try to do it tomorrow. You guys will have to tell me if it's cool, if it's going to work. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see, but I'm thinking about it. All right, so let me give you guys this Facebook post, because it really is it really is amazing, because this is a black police officer. This is a black police officer saying stuff that some of us white people have said before, but we kind of get crapped on for saying. We get, you know, you're white, you, everything is, you're white, white privilege, you don't know what it's like. And let me throw something out at you before I hit this Jay Stallone thing. Okay? Let me throw something out at you. And I had one of my listeners post on Facebook about an incident I talked about, I don't know, a year and a half ago. And he told me he was perplexed as to how I could be talking about racism and police conduct when I had did a segment about the time I was harassed by a police officer, and I was outraged, and don't I know what these people are going through, and how can I talk the way I talk, and so forth and so on. And I actually responded on my Facebook, and I never respond on Facebook or Twitter. Well, I don't do it a lot. Sometimes I feel compelled. Hey, let me say something. Now, I know what it's like to be harassed by a cop because of your color, because of your economic situation. Now, that's different than not complying with a police officer, getting into a scuffle, and either being beaten with a club or being shot. They're two totally different things. And like I've said before, 99% incidences that we're talking about are not Emmett Till. They're not walking down the street, talking to a white woman, and then being killed and lynched because of that. It's not the case. Talking about Eric Gardner's, you're talking about Anton Sterling's, talking about criminals, you're talking about people doing bad things, you're talking about Freddie Gray, you're talking about people doing bad things, and something happening in the course of that situation. It's totally different. totally different than a black guy being pulled over for absolutely doing nothing wrong except just being black. And in that situation, there's no way to defend that. And I will stand against police officers every time that happens. Anytime a police officer or anybody in authority does something to somebody based on and solely based on their race, their sexual orientation, economic situation, I will always say, hey, that was effed up. That was effed up. I won't scream and yell. I won't get in a cop's face. I won't say it's systematic extermination. I'll just say that was wrong. And that is different than resisting arrest, running from the cops. All of those things that transpire or seem to transpire before somebody gets hurt. I mean, for heaven's sakes, even Rodney King, yeah, 9 cops beating the guy. Not good. Not good. Excessive force. But racism? I don't think so. I think it was a guy speeding who wouldn't pull over. So the cops decided to give him a beating. He wasn't pulled over for being black. Hello, officer. What did I do wrong? And then they grab him and beat him, and it's not the case. So I'll give you a quick example. My old office is in a part of North Hollywood that's not the nicest of areas. It's on a street called Lancashire. And pending on where you are in Lancashire, there's a lot of prostitutes. There's a lot of drug activity. I mean, it's not a war zone. It's not a Chicago war zone, but it's a skeevy low life area. And we had an office above a strip club in this area. I know, it's comical right there, but we did above this grungy dive bar of a strip club. They have offices. And then across the street is a 7-Eleven and a Jack in the Box. So it's a very urban area. And at night, the hookers come out. And it's not, you know, Las Vegas where where there's 25 of them on the street, or like New York City where you see them all under the bridge, and it's just like, wow, there's 50 hookers everywhere. Not like that, but they're there. And there's often drunk driving roadblocks on this street. So one night, across the street to get a Coca-Cola, whatever the hell. I had to go to 7-Eleven. I had to get a candy bar or whatever. And I had my black leather jacket on. And I had a scruffy beard. And I was just not looking like a businessman. And as I'm walking down the street back from 7-Eleven, I want to jaywalk. That's my goal, to jaywalk. I don't want to go all the way to the end where Jack in the Box is, go across the street to the light, and then walk back up the other street to go kind of on that edge of the sidewalk and street, kind to determine when it's clear to dart across the road. Well, I don't see a police car behind me, but he sees me, and he sees me kind of looking sketchy, kind of looking like I'm up to something. Maybe I'm going to break into a car. Who knows? Who knows? But all of a sudden, the light comes on and stops next to me as I'm on the street scoping out to cross and jaywalk. And the cop rolls down the window and goes, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I go, "Oh, hey, I got to go back across the street." Comes out of the car and walks over to me. He goes, "You got ID?" I go, "Yeah." And I go, "Oh, here you go, sir." He looks at it. He goes, "Huh, okay." He goes, "What are you doing?" And I go, "That building." He goes, "The strip club?" I go, "Yeah." I go, "We have offices above there." I go, "So I came here and I got the soda and I'm going to go back over there." He goes, "Okay." Gets back in the car and drives away. And then I walk to where Jack the Box is, cross the street, go back up. So I was stopped because I'm a shady looking white guy in a shady area. And I was either, as far as the cop was concerned, looking to score drugs, looking to score a hooker, looking to break into a car. I was definitely out of place. Yes, I didn't have a suit on, but the color makeup area is not full of white people, even with a leather jacket on and a beard. Chances are he thought I was trying to score crack or weed or something. I don't know, who knows what. And he figured, let me roust this white boy up. Now, that was wrong. I wasn't doing anything wrong. And that was wrong. So I get that. I get when black folk are walking down the street and a police officer goes, "Hey, why are you in this neighborhood? Why are you here? What's up?" I get that. That's wrong. But I answered the questions respectful, gave him my ID. I didn't go, "Why are you doing this? What's up with that? What's your problem?" Big difference between that situation and being pulled over because I'm five beers in. Cop says, "Do you mind taking a sobriety test?" I say, "Yeah, sure." And as he walks back to get ready for me to do my one leg up, one leg down, recite the alphabet, I take off. And he starts chasing me. And then he tackles me. And I'm fighting him. And he tases me. And I'm still fighting him because I got drunk strength. And then I get shot. Does it suck? Yeah, it sucks. Should I have been killed for that? No. But is it a surprise? No. When you're resisting arrest, you're fighting a police officer. They have no idea. Listen, when you're resisting arrest or you're running from a police officer has no idea why this is happening. If you didn't do anything wrong, if you have no hardcore criminal history, what does it matter as far as being stopped? If you run, if you resist, if you do these things with a police officer, the first thing they're thinking is, this guy must be a killer. This guy must be wanted. This guy must be a really bad dude to risk the consequences of fighting a cop, running from a cop, all of things that go into that confrontation. So once that happens, right away, the cop has this guy must be dangerous. I've now got to react and be prepared in a different way than I would if the guy had his hands on the steering wheel, gave me his license, had his window down, or was out of the car, his hands were on the hood of the car. He would say, yes, no, yes, no. It's a totally different disposition when you are now chasing someone. I mean, have you ever seen the freeway chase? We have them out here in California all the time. Have you ever seen some of those freeway chases? Have you ever just thought in your head, what did these people do that they would lead a 15 chase through the streets of Los Angeles? There's a police helicopter and a news helicopter, and they're what did these people do? And if you're thinking that, what do you think the cops are thinking? What do you think the cops are thinking? They're sitting there thinking to myself, they're going, this guy's got a dangerous criminal. I mean, imagine all of those things. So I know I'm getting off the Jay Stallion thing, but I just wanted to address the whole being stopped and being a little perturbed because I was stopped for no reason except for being a white guy in a crappy neighborhood who might have looked like he was up to no good versus being stopped, being taken out of the car, and then me running down the street. So, this Jay Stallion, police officer, it's a long Facebook post, but let me read some of this for you. And it's long. I mean, it's long. Okay? I mean, it's really long. So I have come to realize something that is still hard for me to understand to this day. The following may be a shock to some coming from the from an African-American, but the mere fact that it may be shocking to some is prima facie evidence of the sad state of affairs that we are in as humans. I used to be so torn inside growing up. Here I am, a young African-American born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, wanting to be a cop. I watched and lived through the crime that took place in the hood. My own black people killing others over nothing. Crackheads and heroin addicts lined the lobby of my building as I shuffled around them to make my way to our one-bedroom apartment with six of us living inside. I used to be woken up in the middle of the night by the sound of gunfire, only to look outside and see that it was two African-Americans shooting at each other. It never sat right with me. I wanted to help my community and stop watching the blood of African-Americans spilled on the street at the hands of my fellow black man. I became a cop because black lives in my community, along with all lives, mattered to me. And I wanted to help stop the bloodshed. So that's some pretty heavy stuff right there, right? This is a black police officer. And if you didn't know he was a black police officer, and you were someone who was black, honky, this cracker, they don't understand what we go through. As time went by in my law enforcement career, I quickly began to realize something. I remember the countless times I stood 2 inches from a young black man around my age, laying on his back, gasping for air as blood filled his lungs. I remember them bleeding profusely with the unforgettable smell of deoxygenated dark red blood in the air as it leaked from the bullet holes in his body onto the hot sidewalk on a summer day. I remember the countless family members who attacked me, spit on me, cursed me out as I put up crime scene tape to cordon off the crime scene, yelling and screaming out of pain and anger at the sight of their loved one taking their last breath. I never took it personally. I knew they were hurting. I remember the countless times I had to order new uniforms because the ones I had on were bloody from the blood of another black victim. Black on black crime, I remember the countless times I got back in my patrol car, distraught after having watched another black male die in front of me, having to start my preliminary report something like this. Suspect, black male, victim, black male. I remember the countless times I canvassed the area afterwards and asked everyone, did you see who did it? And the popular response from the very same family members were always, F the police. I ain't no snitch. I'm going to take care of this myself. This happened every single time, every single homicide, black on black, and then my realization became clearer. So right there, we're talking about a culture. Remember, we brought up the Harvard statistics, the statistics that contradict the statistics by liberal propagandist Washington Post. The propaganda that the Washington Post, CNN, and the entire Black Lives Matter movement want everybody to believe. And in that Harvard study, shooting of black folk is not the number that is 2 to 1. It's against walls being forced to the ground. And what this police officer is talking about goes to those situations. The F the police. I ain't no snitch. I woke up every morning, put my freshly pressed uniform on, shined my badge, functioned, checked my weapon, kissed my wife and kid, and waited for my wife to say the same thing she always does before I leave. Make sure you come back home to us. I always replied, I will. But the truth was, I never was sure if I would. I almost lost my life on this job, and every call, every stop, every moment that I had this uniform on was another possibility for me to almost lose my life again. I was a target in the very community I swore to protect, the very community I wanted to help. As a matter of fact, they hated my very presence. They called me Uncle Tom and wannabe white boy. And I couldn't understand why my own fellow black men and women attacked me, wishing for my death, wishing for the death of my family. I was so confused, so torn. I couldn't understand why my own black people would turn against me when every time they called, I was there. Every time someone died, I was there. Every time they were going through one of the worst moments in their lives, I was there. So why was I the enemy? I dove deep into that question. Why was I the enemy? Then my realization became even more clear. I spoke to members of the community and listened to some of the complaints as to why they hated cops. I then did research on the facts. I also presented facts to these members of the community and listened to their complaints in response. And this is what I learned. Complaint. Police always targeting us. They always messing with the black man. And in fact, a city where the majority of citizens are black, Baltimore, for example, will always have a higher rate of black people getting arrested. It will always have a higher rate of blacks getting stopped. And will always have a higher rate of blacks getting killed. And the reason why is because a city with those characteristics will always have a higher rate of blacks committing crime. The statistics will follow the same trend for Asians if you go to China, for Hispanics if you go to Puerto Rico, for whites if you go to Russia, and the list goes on. It's called demographics, which is what we've talked about on this show countless times before. Complaint, more black people get arrested than white boys. Fact, black people commit a grossly disproportionate amount of crime. Data from the FBI shows that nationwide, blacks committed 5,173 homicides in 2014. Whites committed 4,367. Chicago's death toll is almost equal to that of both wars in Iraq and Afghanistan combined. Chicago's death toll from 2001 November to 2015 stands at 7,401 deaths. The combined total deaths during Operation Iraqi Freedom 2003 to 2015 were 4,815. In Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan 2001 to 2015 were 3,506, total 8,321. Complaint, blacks are the only ones getting killed by police, or are they killed more? Fact, as of July 2016, the breakdown of the number of U.S. citizens killed by police this year is 238 white people killed, 123 black people killed, 79 Hispanic, 69 other. Fact, black people kill more other blacks than police do, and there are only protests and outrage when a cop kills a black man. University of Toledo criminologist Dr. Richard R. Johnson examined the latest crime data from the FBI's homicide reports and Centers for Disease Control found an average of 4,472 black men were killed by other black men annually between January 1st, 2009 and December 31st, 2012. Professor Johnson's research further concluded that 112 black men died from both justified and unjustified police-involved killings annually during the same period. Complaint, we already doing a good job of killing ourselves. We don't need the police to do it. Besides, they should know better. So the more I listened and the more I realized, the more I researched and the more I realized, I would ask questions and would only get emotional responses and interferences based on no facts at all. The more killing I saw, the more tragedy, the more savagery, the more violence, the more loss of life of black men at the hands of another black man, the more I realized. I haven't slept well in the past few nights. Heartbreak weighs down on me with rage, follows through my veins, and tears fill my eyes. I watch my fellow officers assassinated on live television, and the images of them laying on the ground are seared into my brain forever. Couldn't help but wonder if I had been me, a black man, a black cop, on TV, assassinated, laying on the ground dead. Would my friends and my family still think black lives mattered? Would my life have mattered? Would they have T-shirts in remembrance of me? Would they go to Don TV and protest violence? Would they even make a Facebook post or share a post in reference to my death? All of my realizations came to this conclusion. Black lives do not matter to most black people. Only the lives that make the national news matter to them. Only the lives that are taken at the hands of cops or white people matter. The other thousands of lives lost, the other black souls that along with every cop have seen taken at the hands of other blacks do not matter. Their deaths are unnoticed, accepted as the norm, and swept underneath the rug by the very people who claim and post Black Lives Matter. I realize that this country is full of ignorance, where an educated individual watch the ratings-driven news media and watch a couple of YouTube video clips and then come to the conclusion that they have all the knowledge they need to have in order to know what it feels like to have a bulletproof vest on as part of your office equipment. Stay alive as part of your daily to-do list. And having insurance for your health insurance because of the high rate of death in your profession. They watch a couple of videos and they magically know in 2 minutes, 35 seconds, how you are supposed to handle a violent encounter, which took you 6 months of academy training, 2 to 3 months of field training, countless years of blood, sweat, tears, and broken bones, experiencing violent encounters, and fine-tuning your execution on the use of force continuum. I realize that there are even cops, duly sworn law enforcement officers who are supposed to be decent investigators, who publicly go on the media and call other white cops racist and KKK based on video they watch thousands of miles away, which was filmed after the fact, based on a case where the details aren't even known yet and the investigation hasn't even begun. I realize that most in the African-American community refuse to look at solving the bigger problem that I see and deal with every day, which is black-on-black crime taking hundreds of innocent black lives each year, and instead focus on the 9 questionable deaths of black men. Where some were in the act of committing crimes, I realize that they value the life of a sex offender and a convicted felon who was in the act of committing multiple felonies, felon in possession of a firearm, felony, brandishing and threatening a homeless man with a gun, aggravated assault in Florida, felony, who has resisted officers who first tried to tase him and was not restrained, who can be clearly seen in one of the videos raising his right shoulder, then shooting it down towards the right side of his body, exactly where the firearm was located and recovered, more than the lives of innocent cops who were assassinated in Dallas, protecting the very people that hated them the most. I realize that they refuse to believe that most cops acknowledge that there are bad cops who should never been given a badge and a gun, who are chicken crap and will shoot a cockroach if it crawls on them too fast, who never worked in the hood and may be intimidated, that most cops dread the thought of having to shoot someone and never see the turmoil and mental anguish that a cop goes through after having to kill someone to save his own life. Instead, they believe that we are all bloodthirsty killers because the media says so, even though the numbers prove otherwise. I realize that truly feel as if the death cops will help people realize the false narrative that Black Lives Matter, when all it is and will be is the movement 2 steps backward and label them domestic terrorists. I realize that some of these people who say Black Lives Matter are full of hate and racism, hate for cops because of the false narrative that more black people are targeted and killed. Racism against white people for a tragedy that began hundreds of years ago when most of the white people today weren't even born yet. I realize that some of the African-American community's idea of justice is the prosecution of any and every cop or white man that kills or is believed to have killed a black man, no matter what the circumstances are. I realize the African-American community refuses to look within to solve its major issues and instead makes excuses and looks outside for solutions. I realize a lot of people in the African-American community lead with hate instead of love, division instead of unity, turmoil and rioting instead of peace. I realize that they have become the very entity that they claim they are fighting against. I realize that the very reasons I became a cop are the very reasons my own people hate me. And now, in this toxic, hateful, racially charged political climate, I am now more likely to die. And it is still hard for me to understand to this day. How's that? How's that? That a black police officer who wrote a powerful entry on his Facebook, and this will not get any play from your Wolf Blitzers. This will not get any play from Don Lemon. This will not get any play from Lawrence O'Donnell. This will not get any play from Jake Tapper. Fitz will not get any play for all of the Lives Matter propagandists. This will get ignored, just like the Harvard study will get ignored. This Michael Dyson that is now popping up all over CNN will ignore it. The rhyming, radical, racist that he is, Roland Martin, will ignore it. And this is a black police officer. And they will ignore this. When Don Lemon is crying for Anton Sterling, ignore this. Just remember, who profits from Black Lives Matter? Who profits from the propaganda that is being spewed by the Don Lemons, the CNNs, the MSNBCs? Who profits from the racial division? Who profits from what is going on right now? Who profits? It's the Rob Zicari Show. We will be back tomorrow for another broadcast. And we will address the question once again. Who profits? Who profits? Don't forget, go to the RobZicariShow.com. Don't forget, hit us on Twitter. You know where we are. It's at RobZicariShow. Yes, at RobZicariShow. Follow us. Go to our Facebook, follow us there, and that's it. We're out of here. Good day, good night, good afternoon, and we're off. Goodbye.